Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we are hoping to regale you pleasantly with tales and snippets from our trip to the very first James Beard Awards ceremony and event held in Chicago.
First one ever outside of New York City.
Right.
And Chicago was ready.
And boy, were they ready, and Chicago did a smash-up job. There was so much to do that I couldn't figure out what to do the next minute.
And one thing you'll notice throughout many of the interviews is that there's a great deal of enthusiasm for the James Beard Awards being in Chicago. So I can't say I apologize in advance, because there was a lot of noise, and you'll hear a lot of background noise. And a couple of interviews didn't make it off the cutting room floor, because you really couldn't understand anything that was going on. But we were a little quieter as we began catching up with the people involved with the awards.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about it is you get to see all these people that you've known for such a long time. You also get to see people that you're just meeting for the first time. And it's a great, happy, friendly gathering, the so-called Oscars of the food world.
And here's an example right off the bat. Ann's the love of Ann's life, Michelle Nichan, who won the award for best humanitarian
award of the year.
And then a change of pace, and probably quite the most dynamic restaurant empire in the whole universe, perhaps.
Let us
entertain you. And the founder said he didn't really want the award, because it's the lifetime achievement, is not nearly done yet. And he was too busy to talk to us, but we did have the opportunity to talk to his son, RJ, who works with him in the business and has for years. So how we're starting out.
I want to mention that Michelle Nichan works with Naked Juice, and one of the sponsors, and they held a wonderful brunch for us. And we got to have a lot of in-depth conversation with the people, because it was a nice small group. It was delicious and very helpful also. Michelle Nichan, it's no secret that I'm a big fan of yours. I'm not really surprised that you won the Humanitarian of the Year award. I'm surprised it took so long for you to win it. You must be thrilled.
I am. It's an incredible honor. And I guess I'm not surprised you say that it took so long. There's so many people in our business that are doing such great things. It's just in the food world, because we all so dearly love hospitality and serving others, understanding that there are those who don't get served at all sometimes is something that motivates so many of us. So there are just so many great people doing so many great things. I have to say, if anything, I actually feel maybe a little guilty that I'm not doing enough sometimes, because you just always want to do more. But I think that's a trait that's in so many of us in the business, and I'm proud to be part of that.
Let's segue into exactly what this is, because you've been doing things for so long. Tell us about Wholesome Wave, as though nobody has heard of it. Start out about the organization, when it was founded, what its mission is, and where you are today with it.
So Wholesome Wave was founded in 2007, and Gus Schumacher and I got together. We had been introduced by the late, great Michael Batterbury, because Gus and I both believe that people living and struggling with poverty wanted good food for their families. They just couldn't afford it. And if we could figure out a way to connect them with local, small, and mid-sized farmers, that those two groups could become heroes of a changed food system. So we founded on the premise that all people, regardless of income, should be able to have affordable access to locally grown, healthy, fresh food. And that's what we did. So we started raising private money to do programs on the ground, like doubling the value of food stamps that's spent at a farmer's market on locally grown fruits and vegetables, prescriptions that doctors and nurse practitioners can give out after diagnosing prediabetes or obesity, and the prescription can then be used at a food access point in exchange for a measured amount of fruits and vegetables, so that the family could increase consumption and then go back to be measured for health outcomes. So, and then we do a lot of supply chain development work, because we know that food deserts exist because the food businesses aren't there that allow people to have that access to the fresh, locally and regionally grown foods. So we see those as business opportunities. So we provide a lot of technical assistance and look at what some of the barriers are in establishing the type of supply chains that can allow more and more people, regardless of income, to have access to these great food products that are being grown so close to home. So in a nutshell, as small as I could make it, that's what we do at Wholesome Wave.
Now, you've made some great partnerships along the line. We're just finishing a brunch here where you partnered with the Naked Naked Brunch. You've come a long way. Tell us where you stand now in terms of how many programs there are, what you're going after next, and how this financing is and fundraising is going.
You know, Anne, it's so hard to keep track because it just all moved so fast. Happily, it moved so fast because what we found is in those 49 million Americans who are struggling with poverty, the demand is there for fresh fruits and vegetables. It's just the affordability, the lack of affordable access was the big one. So I think we're in the neighborhood now of 600 plus markets that we're in. We're in 31 states right now, soon to be 32, Washington, D.C., partnering with 80 nonprofit groups on the ground who act as our distribution partners. They actually run the programs and collect the data. Last year, as a result of the data that we collected that proved that families on food stamps really are consumers and do want to make healthier food choices, and when they actually buy local or regionally grown fruits and vegetables, that they're supporting classic American small businesses, small and mid-sized farms. The Farm Bill passed with $100 million in federal funding to double food stamps for fruits and vegetables. So we applied for a national grant and won it for $3.77 million and had to raise that same amount to be able to draw down the federal dollar. So it's the largest grant that we've ever received. And then we're also included in several others. So all in, over the next few years, we're looking at this first grant tranche of being almost $10 million, which is more than we spent over the last 6 years. So the impact is going to be pretty significant, reach hundreds of thousands of families, which is something that we need to do. When you look at diet-related disease for people who can't afford to put healthy food on the table, and that we can actually prevent that by giving them the opportunity to exercise that right to choose healthier food, great things can happen.
Well, Chris, you've long been a believer in that kind of power of food. And you were being groomed to be a celebrity chef along the lines of, you know, television. And you made a conscious decision to not pursue that course. That was the first thing I wanted to mention. The second thing is I happen to know you from the end of tasting your food. And you have a brilliant talent for cooking and healthy food as well. Now you're not actually in a kitchen anymore, and so nobody's going to be able to taste this. That worries me.
Well, they can come over to my house, Ann. I got a big, big fire pit in the backyard where we can even grill whole animals and stuff in the quarter acre garden. But Wholesome Wave is my kitchen. That's the way I feel about it. It is all about food. And you know, our lease was up last year at Dressing Room. Really took a look at, feel there's so many talented young women and men coming out of culinary today that are really nailing farm to table. So I don't feel like I'm turning over stones there anymore, pushing an envelope, which for some reason I just, like I said at the beginning, you don't feel like you're doing enough. And it feels like culinary community is taking farm to table seriously now. It's becoming an expected norm. So I don't feel the need to be in that part of it anymore. So I really wanted to devote these next few years to Wholesome Wave, where I do feel like I'm 30 again. I feel like I'm turning over new stones and pushing envelopes. Eventually, I'll probably get back into food because I do miss serving people. I do miss cooking for people. I miss the smells. I miss my team. All of those that, like the employee community and the partnership community that builds around it, I miss those things. But for right now, Wholesome Wave feeds me so deeply. I can't imagine doing anything but this, at least for the next few years. So, more to come.
How about a website? And then you thank Laurie will thank me for this. Give us your address. So we got, let's do the website.
I live on Morehouse Highway in Fairfield, Connecticut, and the website is wholesomewave.org.
Well, as always, it's just been a delight. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Anne. Always a pleasure.
Now, we're going to be talking to R.J. Melman. And R.J., you must have had an incredible experience growing up. Your father is about to get a Lifetime Achievement Award from the James Beard Foundation. But you had to have grown up. I've lost track. How many restaurants does your family own?
Lettuce Entertain You runs about 100 restaurants across the country now. And my youth was incredible. I got to have the best teacher in the entire world as both my coach and my dad. So it's a really great learning experience to be with him my whole career.
Well, he sure knows what he's doing. I mean, all these years, all that testing. Now, how active are you in the different restaurants? I mean, we're currently at Three Dots and a Dash, which means victory, is it?
Victory. Three Dots and a Dash means victory. It was a V in Morse code, and it signaled victory in the Pacific War of World War II. The first question was, how active am I? And the answer is very. My brother, my sister, and I run a division of our company. We have about 11 restaurants and 2 nightclubs between us that we all oversee and unique concepts, and we're still growing. We're doing a restaurant in Washington, D.C. this year, but we're having a lot of fun.
Well, we just attended your luau, and I guess considering your Morse code thing about the victory, now I understand a little bit about why you chose a luau as a theme. We had a fabulous roast egg and all these kind of tiki cocktails, and it was really a lot of fun. Tell me this, what is it that you do on a daily basis in terms of these restaurants? I don't understand how you can handle that many.
Well, I think our role has changed significantly, too, since we opened a lot of restaurants, that our role is to really be coaches to our managers and to steer the ship on what we're doing. So am I running a shift at a restaurant on an individual night? No. We spend a lot of time developing concepts, marketing plans, food development, new menus, generally just the ideas of what we're going and really making sure that our general managers and our partners that work with us are really growing.
It must be very special, first of all, for Chicagoans in general to have the James Beard Foundation bring their awards to Chicago. But this Lifetime Achievement thing, that happens to only a very few people.
Yeah, I mean, my dad, it's such an honor for him to be winning the Lifetime Achievement Award. I think if you asked him, he'd probably say he's disappointed that he's winning it. He feels that he's got a lot of ideas left, and he doesn't believe that this is nearly the end of his lifetime. He's working on restaurants all the time, has opened some amazing stuff in the last couple of years, a place called Beatrix, another restaurant called Intro. So he is extremely active within the company and within what he's doing. But the James Beards being in Chicago, I think, really shows light on what I think is an incredible restaurant city. And it's pretty cool how we've seen all the restaurant groups around town really unite together and really want to show off Chicago in the best way. I think Chicagoans are so proud of this city, and this is an incredible opportunity to show this to chefs and restaurateurs from around the country.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly what everybody's been driving for, is to get people here, because that's the only way they can really understand how active everything is and how vital everything is. And I must say that so far I've been going to James Beard events since the founding, and I've never seen a city turn out the way Chicago has for this. We have so many things to do, and everybody's putting his or her best foot forward. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I think it's not a surprise that James Beard re-upped here for 2 more years, and I think I attribute that to the One-Off Group and the Boca Hospitality Group and all these great restaurant groups from Chicago that really all got together, and the Illinois Restaurant Association said, we want to make this super special for the James Beard, and we want to show that the Midwest has, you know, that hospitality that you really can't match anywhere else. I think by doing that, it's really showing the people who are supporting the James Beard how great of a city Chicago can be.
I have a question. I always wanted the answer to this question, and you're a Chicagoan by nativity, I'm sure. Why is Chicago called the City of Big Shoulders?
That is a great question. I don't know the answer to it. I wish I better look it up or start taking lessons on a cruise around town. But the Windy City and the Second City, I think I know why, but I'm not sure I know why Big Shoulders.
It's the whole labor tradition of Chicago, you know. Anyhow, I'm not going to go into that. But could you tell me, the kinds of things... I want to know how you come up with so many concepts. Do you have brainstorming sessions? Do you travel around and see other concepts you want to bring into your fold? How do you do this? You have one of everything in the world here.
Simple enough, it starts with the food for us. If we can find, we get inspired by what we taste and what we see and what we eat, and we travel a lot. But at the end of the day, we work out of our kitchen, and sometimes a new item comes out of it, and it creates a whole concept. The tiki bar came about on a road trip, and the three dots and a dash. We have a ramen noodle restaurant called Ramen San that came out of the kitchen at our RPM Italian restaurant. The chef one day said, "I want to make something for you," and it was a bowl of ramen noodles. And it about 6 to 8 months later, I think the ramen restaurant was open. It's we're inspired by food food and drink. That's what gets us going.
Well, you are busy, and I'm not going to take any more of your time. But I thank you for taking much time talking to us. And I'm looking forward to congratulating your dad at the awards.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real treat to be interviewed, and thank you for coming to Chicago for the awards.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
One of the great things about having this annual event is that you get to renew acquaintances with people that you've known for a long time and catch up. And we just did that with Barbara Lazaroff, who's I've known her since we were together in Women's Chef and Restaurateurs, and Gail Gand, who is an icon for female chefs in the industry. It's been a long time since we've talked, Barbara Lazaroff, but we always had some sort of, I don't know, a spirit in common. We both did whatever we wanted, and we looked the way we wanted, and so I'm always interested in what you're doing. Is it you now? You gave me a card here, which I don't quite understand, and it says something about Flame of Life. What I really want you to do is just tell our listeners what it is you're up to.
Absolutely. It's such a pleasure to see you again. I always love seeing you. Well, first of all, I'm still involved in all the restaurants. I own half of the intellectual property that is Wolfgang Puck. I built a brand. We have Spago in Beverly Hills still. We have Chinois in Santa Monica. It's been there 33 years, our Asian fusion restaurant. 33 years, yes. And we really started, we were really one of the with cutting edge with the Asian fusion cuisine concept. And we have cut a steakhouse that serves very refined sort of upscale steakhouse at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. Now we've also opened in Dubai. We're going to be going to Istanbul. We just opened a Spago in Istanbul. And we have a cut in London. And, of course, we're still in Las Vegas. We have 6 restaurants there. And so we've had our ups and downs with regard to restaurants because the industry is a difficult one, and so if anyone thinks that the industry is easy, everybody wants to open a restaurant these days. In the 80s, when 1982, January 16th, 1982, we opened Spago Hollywood, and every dentist and doctor in Beverly Hills said, "We can do that too," and many failed. And I think the card you're looking at right now is last year I developed something called The Flame of Life, which is based on the poem I wrote for Spago Beverly Hills, my initial design when I built the building from the ground up. And you can see I'm wearing this piece of jewelry, which is a flame. And the poem is about the flame of life creates, the flame of love inspires, and it goes on. And basically, I give all the money from the dinnerware, the bone china I sell on Amazon, to charities. Not just Meals on Wheels, but to 13 charities recently.
You may not have actually picked up on this, but you should have. Is that we're talking to a woman who is absolutely amazingly talented and original in every conceivable way. I remember, Barbara, that we sort of bonded way back with Women Chefs and Restaurateurs because you said you always, as a creative person, always a little bit different from anybody else.
Thank you. I think that being original and different is important, and it speaks to, you know, I think it's interesting. It speaks to the whole issue with Bruce Jenner these days and other things that are very timely, the idea of being true to oneself. And it's so important. It's a message I've given my 2 sons, my Lazaroff hyphen Pucks in my life, my Cameron and Byron. And the younger one is going into hotel hospitality management. following in our footsteps in terms of the industry. But my older one's getting a PhD in the history of science and technology. And people say, what do you mean your sons are not going into the business? And I go, my sons need to do whatever it is in life that makes them happy. My mother, who recently passed away, and I miss her deeply, to her slight disappointment, used to say, you're not going to be a doctor anymore? My background's in biochemistry. She says, you've gone from asking people how they're feeling to how their dinner is. But you're right. I think it's important to be original. I think that's what changes the world, moves the world on. You can't create change. You can't create innovation without being yourself, doing what you love, and believing in, you know, what your passions are. The dinnerware actually is about that. I always wanted to do this, designing clothing, designing elements. I designed product. I designed the restaurants for so many years. I used to build about 6 restaurants a year. But then I slowed down a bit because when the restaurants got very complex in design, it takes a lot of attention to detail. And so Eureka, Granita, those restaurants that are now defunct, sadly, and Spago Beverly Hills, that's now been remodeled. I've taken everything, the gloss and other elements that are not there, I'm upcycling them, repurposing them. Those are two phrases, the idea of repurposing or for the environment, but it's called upcycling as well. I'm repurposing them into my home. And I think we throw away too much in America. We discard too much. We don't appreciate the elderly enough and their wisdom. We don't appreciate the words of our children and trust enough in them. We don't appreciate the beauty of what's around us and preserve it enough.
As I tell you, listeners, I mean, this woman, meeting her and talking to her, is always an inspiration, but it's also an education. I talked to Michelle Michon, who got the Humanitarian of the Year Award from the James Beard Foundation, and he said, and I think he's right, is that everybody goes to restaurateurs and chefs to do good, where you need to have good done, and you are exemplary in this. Talk to us a little bit about it.
Actually, I don't know if you remember this, but my former husband, Wolfgang Puck, and I won the Humanitarian Award from James Beard. We also won Restaurant of the Year, which is a huge award. It's one of the biggest. But for me, winning Humanitarian of the Year was bigger because that is what your legacy is in life. Your legacy is what you leave behind and how you change with the ripple effect other people's lives. And I guess we would say primarily we won that award because we started the American Food and Wine Festival. I personally, individually, still own that name, the American Wine and Food Festival for Meals on Wheels. And we raised close to $28 million for Meals on Wheels over the 29 years we were doing the event. It was about 1,600 people. We would have chefs come in from all over the country, and indeed we had some of them every year come in from other Europe or Asia. And actually Gail Green, who I greatly admire, came to Los Angeles after we did the first one to watch the event and to participate, and then she emulated it for City Meals on Wheels. And I go to New York every year for the City Meals on Wheels Women's Power Lunch. They managed to raise $1.5 million every year with a luncheon. So to speak to the issue of charity, humanity, giving back, why else are we here?
It's called Amen, and you're a delight. and I'm so happy to run into you again because we really have not had much contact, but you're still going full steam ahead and still gorgeous, and thank you.
Very kind of you. Thank you very much. I'm very happy. I have 2 healthy children. The only thing I'm missing is my mother. I want to say it's a pleasure seeing you again, seeing you look so well and healthy and wonderful. And I want to say good health to everyone. Happy 2015. And eat well, enjoy life, food, wine, and remember, your friends are the most important thing. Your family and friends are the most important things you will ever savor.
You won lots of things. I'm talking to Gail Gann,
who's wearing a shirt that says the James Beard Awards 25 years. But you won before 25 years was up, correct?
I have 2 James Beard Awards, so it's very handy to have.
Doesn't that feel kind of greedy?
No, there are people with more. When I came to the announcement that we was moving to Chicago, I think Rick Bayless was there, and he probably trumps us all. He's got the most.
but you have a partner, a business partner called Rick.
I have Rick Tremonto. And,
he has one or two as well,
he's
right?
He's got a couple as well. So, and one of them we share for best service for our fine dining restaurant, True. And then he's got best chef in the Midwest, and I have an outstanding pastry chef.
And I'll bet the favorite of all is the best service award, right?
You know, they're both come in handy. If my husband ever questions my cooking, I just bring out the, you know, James Beard Cooking Award for pastry. If he questions what wine glass I use, I bring out the best service award. So either way, I'm covered.
Did you ever think the James Beard Awards would leave New York City?
That is a hard one to predict. I never thought, I mean, because the Beard House is in New York, and, you know, James lived in New York. So the idea that they would ever be willing to move from New York City to anywhere else was just, you know, it was unthinkable.
Who made it happen? Was it the mayor? Was it Gail Gann? Rick Tremonti? Was it Rick Bayless? I mean, who was it?
It was the mayor. It was Rahm Emanuel. He would not stop calling Susan a girl at the James Beard House. She said that I think he must have called like hundreds of times, just badgering her. And he really, what I want to express is how proud our mayor is of our culinary community, of our chefs, of the culinary diversity that we have here in Chicago. And that's what drove him to call Susan so many times that she finally gave in and said, okay, already, we'll do it.
Okay, and you got it for 3 years. That was pretty clever, huh?
Right, I didn't realize that. When they announced it, I thought it was just 1 year. So it was. They just kind of let that trickle out recently, at least to the chefs, that we've got 3 years to do this.
Well, we've been here for several days already. Clearly, the Chicago dining scene has an enormous amount to offer. So, and you're a big part of it. So, Gail, thank you so much for talking to us. And I'm sure you'll come on our program again soon because of something else you've done.
And please come up and have one of my creme brulee. I mean, actually, tonight I'm doing butterscotch spoonfuls with salt and pepper peanuts.
Oh,
so come up for that.
We'll find you through the crowd if we can.
Okay.
And in the meantime, say hi again to Rick. We saw him earlier
on. He's in the audience there. Yeah, he's actually watching the show. I'm Cinderella. I just, you know, I get ready for the ball, but I don't go to the ball.
Well, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back, and now we're going into the actual party atmosphere of the press room, if you wonder what it's like in the press room at one of the events. And we're going to be interviewing the awardees as they came off the stage, past the photography station, and into the press room. It's going to be exuberant, meaning noisy, and just listen and hear what these people have to say. We'll go right through the awards, Rising Star, Best New, Best Service, and so forth.
Winner of a James Beard Award I have ever seen in my whole life. Introduce yourself to our audience.
I'm Jessica Lurkey of Manresa Restaurant, and I won Rising Star Chef.
Nationwide.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you. It is. It's a huge honor.
How do you think that happened?
I have no idea. It's a big surprise, and I'm really happy to be here, but I never would have dreamed this, and it's really amazing and surreal and such a fun experience.
Now, did a man called David Kinch have anything to do with that?
I believe so. He's been my mentor and friend for 6 years, and I love working with him.
Had you worked at another restaurant, or was this your first restaurant?
No, it wasn't my first. It was probably my 5th restaurant, and the most time I spent at another restaurant was in L.A. I worked at Providence, and I worked for Michael Cimarusi. That was my first job, and I loved him. He taught me so much, and he's actually the person who introduced me to David Kinch. So it all came from the same organic place.
Now, one of the things that's so incredibly special about Manresa is the relationship with Love Apple Farms, and I understand in the last couple of years that's changed to be an even bigger relationship.
Absolutely. I mean, with the restaurant expanding and everything, so has the farm, and it's been amazing supporting each other in that transition. And honestly, when I first came up to Manresa, I loved it. I was on board, and then I went to the farm, and I looked at David, and I said, when can I move here? It was really inspiring, and what changed the game for me.
So you didn't ask what your salary would be. You just said, I want to come and work here?
Absolutely. It didn't matter. I just wanted to be a part of everything they were doing.
And it's been a difficult time for the restaurant because there was a fire. And tell us about how you've come back from that. So listeners around the world can understand that you're really truly open for business.
Yeah. We reopened in the new year, but going through the fire was extremely difficult on all of us. But we really banded together and made sure that we came together, stayed united, and our entire kitchen staff came back, which was really amazing. I really loved it.
So they all went to work for somewhere else, but as soon as they reopened, they all came back?
Yes, absolutely. Some of them went to stage, some of them went on trips. Most of them found temporary jobs. A lot of restaurants reached out to us and offered to hire people temporarily, which was amazing. Yeah,
That was very thoughtful.
Yeah, absolutely. The outreach that happened when everything came to a head was really amazing. The support and the network of everyone who reached out to us was really amazing.
Now, you were talking to someone just a little bit ago, I overheard about, so your ambition might be one day to have your own restaurant?
Absolutely. We'll see what happens. I mean, that's in the future, but we'll see what comes.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us, and congratulations on an absolutely great award.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Last time we saw you was at Ramsay at the London.
Yes.
Now you are a super, superstar at Bussard, who our dear friend Drew Naporn really needed this boost, and you did it. How is your cooking different now? You are best new restaurant.
I think the flavors don't really change too much. I just did a different approach of it, and in a different space like downtown, and a little bit more relaxed. And it just came really well together with, you know, the influence of Drew, myself, and John Winterman. We just pulled something off which is was new. Even if it's old, it's new again.
I think, what is the secret that made it so new?
I think it's just flavorful cooking and really doing it right. Every day, consistently producing good food. That's all it is. That's all the magic.
I remember what I loved the most about your cooking was the flavor.
That's all about it. You can make it look pretty, but if it doesn't taste good, no bueno.
So you're happy now and you're on the right direction.
Definitely. You know, like you train under a lot of big-name chefs, of course, but now it's my own restaurant with partners and my own kitchen, and I'm happy, you know. I know my boundaries, and, you know, you're doing things right.
Well, I can't be happier for you, because you were always, I thought, it was kind of secreted away talent. Your talent is now out in the open.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was great to work for Gordon Ramsay, but on the other side, you know, it's Gordon Ramsay. It's not your own restaurant. So this time we did it differently, and it's my own kitchen.
Everyone needs to rush the Bazaar down.
Yeah, they will definitely going to go down there, check it out. And, yeah, it's something very different. It's fun. It's good food. It's a restaurant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We want to talk to Sam.
Here you are.
The Inn at Blackberry Farms is a long way from anywhere. And a lot of people haven't heard about it, but we have. We talked to you several years ago when you wrote a book about the property, but now you've won a rather remarkable award.
Many people have not heard about us. You are right. It is a destination location, and even if you have heard, one should not believe, good or bad, what they've heard. They just need to come check it out for themselves.
Now, this is the award that most chefs and owners say they value the most. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I wanted to say that above any other recognition that we could have received, this one probably means more, but I would not want to belittle any of our other efforts. But yes, the fact that service reflects our entire team. Nothing could be more.
Now let's just sign off just so that I can remember as well when I edit this. It's Sam
Bell
from the
Blackberry Farm
in Welland,
Tennessee. It's not the inn at Blackberry Farm. Definitely not the inn at Blackberry Farm, just Blackberry Farm.
I'll fix that one here. Thank you so much for talking to us and basking in the award. Have you called them back home yet?
I haven't called anybody.
But you're going to really soon, I'll bet.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas is a bit of a legend, but it just became more of a legend.
Yep, I'm Aaron Franklin over at the Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas, and I just won the James Beard Award for Best Chef Southwest.
Would you consider that unusual for a barbecue restaurant?
Hugely unusual. It's never happened before. We really just build fires. I'm no chef. I make food and I make people happy, hopefully, but oh, I'm no chef. Couldn't tell you how honored I am to be here.
I understand that the line starts like halfway to Houston and ends halfway to San Antonio.
Yep, something like that. And it's about 60 or 70 miles deep sometimes. No, I'm kidding. But it may be a few hundred people deep, well before we open.
But if you want to make sure you get some, you better be there about what time?
Oh, on the early side, maybe 6 a.m., maybe 7:30 a.m. during a weekday.
And it's true that when you're done, you're done. You don't make any more?
Well, we cook a little over 2,000 pounds of meat a day, and then we open at 11. So when it's gone, it's gone. We cook 24 hours for one service. It never stops. It just keeps going.
And when does it usually run out?
Normally about 3 o'clock, give or take 30 minutes.
Oh, my. No, where do you send people when they finish up hungry because they can't get any?
So that's kind of the thing about barbecue is you normally just make it and it's fresh. And then, you know, so once it's gone, really there aren't a lot of other places to go to at that time either. There are a few in town. There are a few places that we like in town. That's where we send people.
We interviewed somebody from Salt Lick.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure you know.
I do. It's really far outside of town. I would feel bad, like, oh, yeah, just go get you a quick sandwich at this place. And then an hour and a half of driving later.
Now, one of our favorite people in the world of barbecue is Stubbs.
Okay.
He made barbecue sauces. You're familiar with his product, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You don't use that, though. You have your own.
Well, so here's the thing about us. We're the actual barbecue place, so we make our own stuff.
And what's in it is a secret, right?
Just crack.
Did you found this restaurant, or was it in your family already?
We built it. We started it. My wife and I, 5 years ago, opened it up.
My goodness. It seems like it's been there forever.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, the name's Franklin. The name Franklin's been around for a while. But
some people have been online forever.
Oh.
Well,
I haven't met people, a lot of my editors. I met Levine from Studio Z.
Of course.
Can I take like 20 seconds just to wrap?
Of course.
Yeah, I just want to take the opportunity to say congratulations on a most unusual win.
Yeah.
I bet it really came out of left field.
Well, indeed, ladies. Thank you.
Well, thank you for talking to us. Jonathan Sawyer, to say you are over the moon would be an understatement.
Well, I thought I had just landed on the moon, so it's actually totally appropriate for my emotions right now.
And you just called the team back in Cleveland.
I did. I just called the whole kitchen at the greenhouse. I'm going to call Trentina right now and then Noodle Cat right behind that.
Can I hold you up for 2 or 3 minutes?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure.
And there's a very special lady standing right over here. So
the absolute better half.
What do you think about it?
I think it's great. I think it's well-deserved.
Oh, I'm sure it's well-deserved. Did you even have a clue?
No, I didn't. I did not.
We definitely did not.
No.
Anything like that was going to happen, especially being in Chicago.
Being in Chicago and being a part of.
Chicago.
Well, you understand that Ann and Peter have the magic touch.
Yeah.
because we interviewed Jonathan not more than a few weeks ago, and we said, of course you're going to win.
The Midas touch.
And he said, don't be silly. Now, for those people who have been hiding and not paying attention, your restaurant is in Cleveland, Ohio.
We are.
We got them.
The home of the about-to-be NBA champion, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cavaliers.
But this is really special. Has there been another winner of a James Beard Award from Cleveland before?
There has. Chef Mike Simon, and then also from Northern Ohio, we have Sokolowski's for Lifetime Achievement, and then Parmalee Jones for Humanitarian or Lifetime Achievement. I can't remember.
I just saw him last night. Nice. Yeah.
He's a phenomenal group of people to have my name mentioned. Thank you for the Midas blessing earlier.
And the other one, a long shy I've got.
Fabulous. Okay, well, hold on a second. The interesting thing is, what we talked about with you was cooking for children, right?
Yeah.
It was a pasta book for children.
Yeah, of course. Now, the Noodle Kids book.
But that's not really what you do at the greenhouse in Cleveland.
No, it's just Tuesdays at the Sawyer household.
This is Mrs. Sawyer right here, by the way.
Chef's widow.
I am.
let's make sure everybody heard that. You are a
chef's widow.
but tonight it feels worth it, right?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Fantastic. He works hard, and he's the hardest working guy I've ever known.
But it's not just hard work. There's a little talent there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely talent. I happen to think he's one of the most talented chefs I know. And I know a lot. So
you do.
I do.
So you are in the business yourself?
I am. We're partners.
Oh, you're a partner. So you work together in the kitchen?
No.
Oh, you're,
no.
You're the front. You're
marketing.
Front of hand. Okay. Well, once again, Jonathan, a last word for our listeners before I let you go. Come to Cleveland, right?
Yes. Visit Cleveland. Yes, visit Cleveland. Now more than ever.
The James Beard Award-winning restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio, Jonathan Sawyer from the Greenhouse, and Mrs. Sawyer, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
How are you?
Have a great day.
I'm so happy.
There's a very tall man standing next to me who has the biggest smile on his face. Introduce yourself.
My name is Alon Shai. I'm the chef and owner of three restaurants in New Orleans, Dominica, Pizza Dominica, and Shia.
And you just won a big award.
I did, and I really won it for our team, 300 people that I work with every single day, that I'm honored to be a part of, that motivate me and inspire me. And I'm honored to be able to bring this award home to them and to our family of restaurants.
Have you called them back in New Orleans?
I haven't had a chance. I just
grabbed my drink.
I went to the bathroom really fast, and now I'm here talking to you.
Now, who's this lady? There's a lady standing right next to you.
My beautiful wife, Emily.
She seems kind of excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We're so excited to bring this back to New Orleans with the team and everyone at Shia and Dominica.
I think we forecasted, didn't we, Alan? We said you were going to win some time ago.
I wasn't trying to count my chickens. But I'm happy that it finally happened, and I'm super honored to be a part of this prestigious award, and I couldn't be any happier.
Now
so
you've got something new that just happened as well.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about your new restaurant.
I just opened an Israeli restaurant in New Orleans called Shia. It's really an homage to my family and the foods that my family has been cooking for generations. And so I'm happy to be able to cook this food for hundreds of people every single day in New Orleans.
And now, where are you from, Mrs. Shia?
I'm from Georgia originally, but I've been in New Orleans for about 14 years. So, I was like to say, I was born in Georgia, but I grew up in New Orleans.
And then you made your life there, and you married a chef.
That's right, I did. And now that we love to call New Orleans home. We're New Orleans as far as we're concerned.
Did you talk to John yet?
I have not. You're the first person I'm talking to. Well, other than Emily, you are the second person.
I got lucky. I saw you first.
Well, thank you so much.
Annie's sitting right over there. And she'll be thrilled. She'll be thrilled. Yeah, she's like in two rows back from the front.
Awesome.
So once again, about the most well-deserved beard winner we've ever had the pleasure of knowing.
Wow, you are so nice.
No,
Thank you so much.
Your food is so wonderful, and I want some of those knots with garlic cream right now.
Oh, we can do that.
Thank you, Sean. Once again, congratulations.
Thank you. Aloha.
Be proud.
Thank you so much.
Not so many years ago that we commiserated with Mike Lotta at Big Restaurant about why he never got the recognition he felt he deserved. So then his turn came around and we captured that moment. It's on our website forever. Now, here's the remarkable thing. On my right side is the man who took over that kitchen and just won a little award.
Best Chef Southeast, James Beard.
And the motto is still the same, Mike. Food is?
Food has never been better. Food is good, yeah.
You're going to have another acronym, right?
Right. F&B. But
tell me how this happened. And it wasn't a fluke.
No, work ethic is number one. And this man has the best work ethic I've ever seen in my life.
We work very hard, but the fact is that Big's pillars, its philosophies are so strong. And with Mike Lotta and Adam Nimero, the owners, they live their brand so genuinely every day that it's so easy to buy into.
How long have you worked at Big?
I've been there for 7 years.
So you've really got an opportunity to study. What do you think you really learned most from Mike?
Holy shit.
The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ask him what he thinks he taught you. You can go first. He gets time to think.
Jason, he often comments to me about the things that he may struggle with from a personnel standpoint, which is really what we do for a living. And one day he said something to me about slicer not being cleaned properly. And I remember talking to him about it's not a matter of you cleaning it properly or not. You deciding that you'll never not clean it properly. That makes a big difference.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. There was a couple of those conversations. I can actually remember I used our Vitamix one time, and he looked at me and he said, maybe eloquently or not, that if I didn't lift the gasket up and clean underneath the gasket, that I would never be a chef. And to this day, I clean that gasket every time. Even if somebody puts it away, I will clean the bottom of that gasket because those words just resonated in me. But it boils down to buying into the Fig brand and loving it and learning it and living it.
But the beauty of the story is that all that stupid shit that I said that may or may not have been true is validated for the first time ever. And it doesn't matter if it was right or wrong.
There we go.
It was right.
Now, just to recap, Fig Restaurant Standing for Food is Good is in Charleston, South Carolina.
12 years old.
In addition to Food is Good, Fig, Mike, you have another restaurant.
The Ordinary, yes. The Ordinary Seafood Restaurant, yeah.
And probably more to come.
One day, yes.
I'm in the path that I want to go on. So, the future is ours, but as long as it's ours and not mine or his, then I'll be a happy person.
He's a 33-year-old James Beard Award-winning chef. The options are long and plentiful.
Well, thank you both for talking to us. Jason, congratulations once again. Mike, always a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
People get pretty excited when they win a medal here, but this man standing next to me is so calm, I can't believe it. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Hi, Barry Maiden from Hungry Mother Restaurant in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Now, that's a good name for a restaurant, I guess, right?
Well, there's a lot of Hungry Mothers out there, so yeah, of course, it sticks with you.
And what does it feel like to be named above your peers in your region, get this award?
You know, the reason I'm so calm right now is because I'm still in a state of shock, and it's an absolute honor to be here and amongst my peers, because to me, they're all so deserving and just happy to be a part of it.
Now,
so.
What do you cook up at Hungry Mother? My cousin is coming to visit in September. He's going to be in Boston. Why should he go eat at Hungry Mother? What kind of meal would he have?
Well, we do a little bit of a refined southern cuisine influenced by New England produce and beautiful fish that we get in locally, as well as whole animal butchery. So a combination of those three things, I think, really makes it a unique spot. But good old southern fried catfish is on the menu, but just done in a way that's unique and presented beautifully and tastes really good and honest.
Now, are you from the South? Or?
I grew up in Southwest Virginia, so I'm a Virginia boy. I grew up my family's down in North Carolina and some time in the East Tennessee area as well. So, but yeah, Virginia born and bred. So
you're a pretty brave man to be in the middle of Yankee territory.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, it was quite a surprise to move up into Boston and experiment with this food and with the people there. But it's been good. They've taken well to it.
Thank you so much
lucky
for
me.
Talking. Thank you. Yeah, lucky you.
Lucky me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well done. Oh, you got a handful of
Classic, like I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But St. Louis has so many good chefs.
Tell my audience who you are.
Gerard Kraft.
And your restaurant is called?
Nice Restaurant.
Nice?
Yeah.
And it's not the only one you have, though.
No. I have Nice, Taste, Pasteria, and Brasserie.
All around the St. Louis area?
All in St. Louis, yeah.
And Clayton, Missouri is a suburb?
It's part of the city. It's just part of St. Louis. St. Louis is built up of a million different little neighborhoods and cities, right. But it's all St. Louis.
And what kind of cuisine can people expect if they come to your restaurant, Nice?
So Nice is based off of over 97% all Missouri products, and so it's more tasting menu focused, but you know, really interesting, thoughtful preparations based on extremely local ingredients. It's a full taste of what Missouri is.
About the only thing I can remember that was a native Missouri ingredient that we had on our program was black walnuts.
Oh, I love black walnuts.
From Hammond's.
Probably my favorite ingredient, black walnuts. So black walnuts, sassafras, I mean, there's so many hickory nuts. There's so many great, great things in St. Louis, including paddlefish and many other unique things.
Now, when we lived in Kansas City, actually in Kansas City, Kansas area,
okay.
In the 1970s, and I can remember going to a steakhouse that was written up in Playboy magazine called Jules and Jim. And I had a steak that tasted like no steak I had ever tasted before because of how well it had been aged. Now, do you do that kind of thing, too?
We do age meat, but again, all Missouri meats,
yeah,
and stuff.
Sure.
And it's not more steakhouse format. It's very, you know, there are about 13 courses in the dinner, and so kind of all small plates, but kind of uniquely thought out.
So that represents a training background or just an interest you have?
It's just an interest that I've grown. I'm from Washington, D.C., but moved to St. Louis about 10 years ago and fell in love with the Missouri countryside and what it had to offer. So.
And you're so laid back. Has it sunk in yet?
It's definitely sunk in. I feel great.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us,
much.
And congratulations again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
One of the things the James Beard Foundation does every year is to select restaurants which aren't fine dining restaurants, but they're restaurants which are good of their type. They call them American classics. Many of them are ethnic. Many of them are really all American food. All of them, in general, family-owned and fighting the good fight to maintain the small independent restaurants which used to dot this country. We captured two of them for you just so that you could listen to how excited they were to be named as James Beard Foundation Awards American Classics.
It's a family business, but a family business populated with some rather different people. In where?
We're in Los Angeles, in Koreatown, in the heart of Koreatown, actually. Olympic and Normandy, Galaguetza Restaurant.
And your name is?
My name is Fernando Lopez. And I'm a second-generation restaurant owner. My father started the restaurant 21 years ago.
Now Lopez is not exactly Korean.
No.
So your restaurant is not a Korean restaurant.
It's not a Korean restaurant. It's a Southern Mexican restaurant from Oaxaca. And so we're in Los Angeles, in Koreatown. There's a lot of Oaxacans in Koreatown.
And what wonderful recognition. You're very pleased, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're very, very proud. Very proud of my father for everything he's done. And we're very excited.
And around this table are all members of your family.
Yeah.
I have
three sisters.
Run through them for me.
Sure. So Elizabeth is my youngest sister.
Then it's Bricia Lopez, Paulina Lopez, my mom Maria, and my dad Fernando.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on the recognition.
Okay, I'm super excited, Peter.
That way I'll be able to figure out who it is. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Martha Crowe Jones with Sally Bell's Kitchen, Richmond, Virginia, and we just won,
we are bestowed
American Classics Award, James Beard, Chicago, 25 years celebration. My husband Scott, who just took over a year ago, and when he takes over, we win the award.
That's terrific. Again, introduce yourself if you would.
I'm Scott Jones with Sally Bell's Kitchen as well. Richmond, Virginia, and we've been in business for 91 years. And we've been very fortunate to have been awarded the James Beard American Classics Award.
91 years, it sure doesn't look a little bit like that. Now, if people are in Richmond, how do they find you?
We're easy to find. We're near Belvedere and Broad, 708 West Gray Street.
Right in the heart of downtown Richmond.
Midtown, Richmond, Virginia. We're in the heart of Virginia Commonwealth University campus.
The restaurants we know best are the one that used to be the Tobacco Factory.
Tobacco Company.
And the Frog and Redneck.
Frog and Redneck.
So you're a little further uptown from them?
Absolutely.
We are.
We're uptown. Yeah, we're more west end.
A little bit west of them.
Yes.
Yep.
And what do you feed people at your restaurant?
Well, it's a southern cuisine, I think. Box lunches. It's all carry out. So if you come there expecting to sit down, you'll have to do it in your car.
We make everything from scratch. We're fueled on mayonnaise. We make our own mayonnaise, which goes into the potato salad, which goes into the chicken salad, the deviled eggs. We make our salad dressing. We kind of started the cupcake revolution, I believe, 91 years ago. Our cupcakes are upside down, iced that way because you get more icing.
And a lot harder to ice, trust me. I've done a few. But they are upside down, and so you get the sides and the top.
And just I am don't a cupcake get... maven of Richmond, Virginia.
Now, that's quite a claim.
We stand by it.
Now, the Magnolia Bakery people might dispute as to who invented the cupcake, but you're distinctive because they're upside down.
Yes, correct.
More icing that way.
I never even thought about that.
But we are famous for our box lunches. Our box lunches include a sandwich, a side, usually our potato salad, which is also sort of a Richmond institution, a little cheese wafer, and half of a deviled egg and a cupcake. And so you get those five items in each box lunch. And
it costs?
$8.50.
Sounds like a bargain in the 21st century. Well, thank you both for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Well, I mean, I must say, it gives me a great appreciation for how it is to work the red carpet and all those other events like the Oscars or the Grammys and the. It was a challenge, and it's not perfect, but I think that it conveys the excitement that surrounds this event. And everybody had a really good time.
To paraphrase somebody, my only sorrow is that I only have one good ear to give to my country. Because the other one's broken. But listeners, it was an exciting evening. I'm sure you had a lot of fun listening to it.
And watch for it next year. It's going to be in Chicago.
Again.
For the next 2 years again.
But in the meantime, until then, until next week when we'll see you again, same time, same place, we hope. Goodbye and...
Bye-bye.